Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So how did this play out? How did Nebraska, how did Bill Moos get a hold of Mark Wharton down at UT? And I know Mark. I've known Mark for years. How did he get a hold of Mark Wharton at UTC to at least get the ball on this thing rolling? Because the Wisconsin deal didn't happen until early in this week.
Well, I know that Nebraska has been exploring all possible Plan B options under the assumption that games were going to get canceled under this current plan, especially when, there was that whole initial conversation even before the new schedule came out of, if the Big Ten's not going to let us play this fall, can we just play games on our own? And so they've been making phone calls for a long time, and there's been several other schools that I'm sure that they've reached out to about, if something comes up, would you be available? And, I think they had a short list of schools that, potentially could come up if a situation like the Wisconsin one arose. And so this wasn't something where, the news breaks over the weekend and they're just scrambling, making phone calls. I think that, they already had some discussions in place. And once that became official that, the game was canceled, they started calling around and saying, hey, if we can make this happen, are you down to play? And, Tennessee Chattanooga was one of those schools that was like, yes, at the drop of the hat, like, we'll get our trucks loaded. We will be ready to go. We've got all our testing done by Wednesday night. All you need to do is tell us that, you got the green light and we'll make this happen. Well, it got basically to the point where all they needed was the Big Ten to sign off on it. And, once again, the Big Ten had other ideas about how this season is going to operate when it comes to playing outside of the conference. So it's been a crazy couple of days, but this was definitely something that had been kind of in on the back burner for much longer than just this week.
But this is also another in a list where Nebraska appears on the surface from the outside looking in to be in conflict in the Big Ten. How do you view that?
I mean, it's definitely the case. There's a vastly differing viewpoints on how this season could and should be handled, especially with schools like Nebraska that, despite the COVID numbers around here skyrocketing seemingly by the day, Nebraska feels like they have a pretty darn good handle on just the daily testing and, trying to maintain a bubble situation within their program to where that they feel like they can play and they can do so safely, where, the Big Ten is operating under a much higher level of caution and precaution that, they don't want to take any unnecessary risks. And so that's kind of where it starts, where Nebraska's saying, we're doing everything right. We feel comfortable that we can pull this off and do it safely. And everybody wins as a result of it, where the Big Ten's like, we have rules in place and our schools are expected to follow those rules, regardless of whatever new situation might come about. So, that is kind of just the basis of it. But it seems like it's deeper rooted than that. I think that there's just a kind of a whole cultural difference, really, between the leadership at Nebraska and the rest of the Big Ten Conference. I think that they fall more in line with the way of thinking of the Big 12 and SEC, and that's kind of where I think this thing really kind of gets a little bit messier than just can we play or can we not. So it's something that isn't going to go away anytime soon, especially with what has happened over the course of this year. The relationship is strained, to say the least. And, I don't know how long and what it's going to take to repair that and if it can be repaired at this point, as far as, going back to the feel good, welcome to the Big Ten it was a decade ago.
All right, so that brings up the next part. There is obviously a media grant of rights involved here. The only one that doesn't have one among the Power Five conferences, to my understanding, is the SEC. But at some point, a media grant of rights runs out. If that were to happen, would Nebraska make itself a free agent?
I would not rule it out. Obviously, it would be at the expense of several million dollars, I think. Someone within the university that I talked to recently said that, they crunched their own little numbers and this is nobody making any decisions, mind you, just somebody that did some number crunching on this. And they said it would be probably about an $11 million hit to leave the Big Ten just based off the money they're making right now off of TV and everything else.
That would be per year, Robin, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
So So, I mean, that's substantial, but, you know, at the same time, you got to wonder if Nebraska would consider that kind of be an acceptable loss given the amount of conflict they've had seemingly at every step of the way this year. And so we'll see. And I mean, it seems like this is nothing that's going to happen anytime in the immediate future. But down the road, if this relationship doesn't kind of mend itself, I would not rule it out whatsoever. I know the Big 12 would welcome Nebraska back with open arms because you know, that TV market brings a lot of eyeballs to your league. And, you know, I would just assume that would be kind of a seamless cultural fit, you know, geographically and all that, that despite the money you would lose from a revenue standpoint, you know, maybe long term it would be the better fit. So I certainly would not rule that option out. But again, I think there's a lot of things that need to happen for it to get that far along to where the leadership at Nebraska would legitimately consider it.
With Robin Washington from Huskers Online, Rivals Network. Robin, so when you have the type of job that you have, it's not just being a reporter and talking to people in the athletic department. You also have a lot of contact with fans. So give me a read. What do the fans like about the Big Ten? What don't they like about the Big Ten?
Well, you know, I mean, there is that added element of prestige. And, you know, go back to 2010 when Nebraska was doing anything it could to leave the Big 12.
Right.
The whole thinking was that they have to get out of the headlock of Texas. You know, the fact that the University of Texas had such power in the Big 12 where they completely shifted everything in their favor from, you know, moving the Big 12 championship permanently down to Texas to basically just having it be a Texas-based league. You know, Nebraska, they wanted out. And going to the Big 10 was kind of just this dream world where, you know, we're going to this established brand, you know, with these traditional powerhouses that are a lot like ourselves at that time from a football standpoint. And then obviously the academic part of it, it was going to be a huge boost to the university to be affiliated with that conference. And so it made a lot of sense. But obviously Nebraska didn't bring what it was supposed to bring to the table from a football standpoint. And then, you know, the league did Nebraska very little favors with, you know, just not necessarily giving them maybe some of the benefits that other traditional schools in the conference get. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where now, 10 years later, you're looking at it as, you know, why are we doing this? You know, the Big Ten's like, why is Nebraska here? And Nebraska's like, why are we in this league? And so that's kind of the fan viewpoint is, you know, what has been the benefit of this move? I don't think it's necessarily worked out nearly the way either side thought. And so while there are a lot of positives for Nebraska being in this league, you know, like I said, the money, first and foremost, and then just the prestige factor and the academics, you know, from a competitive standpoint, I think people are kind of looking back at what they had in the Big 12 and thinking, you know, having a little bit of buyer's remorse of trying to jump out of there so fast. So fans are emotional, especially in Lincoln, Nebraska, and around this program. So right now they're caught up in the moments of feeling, you know, disrespected and all that stuff. But I think, you know, if they're the reasonable ones are able to kind of take a step back and realize that just because we're having difficulty playing football in 2020 doesn't necessarily mean that we're in this us against the world situation where the Big Ten is just trying to hurt Nebraska at every step.
I know Penn State's in this crazy conference schedule deal the next, you know, that started a couple of years ago where at the end of the season, you know, they play Michigan State. Well, then they play Maryland. Then they play Rutgers. And, you know, and nothing gets established. It's to be frank with you, it's illogical. I know they're trying to establish something that's just not there. Nebraska's had that end of the season game on a Friday with Iowa. Now, I noticed that in the schedule, it's there. It's not the end of the season for obvious reasons. But I had heard rumors that they were going to start rotating Nebraska at the end of the season in terms of who they were playing. Is that true or not?
For
Iowa,
Penn State?
Playing Iowa on that Friday. They're going to do it this year, but I heard that they might start rotating that game at the end of the season for them too. Now, that doesn't mean it's true. I just want to know if that's what you heard.
Well, I know that you know, originally, this year and then next season, Nebraska was going to be playing Minnesota on the last week of the season because our previous athletic director, Sean Eichhorst, for whatever reason, wanted to spice things up and eliminate one of the most liked traditions about Nebraska football scheduling. So that was going to go away in 2021, and they were going to go back to it being Iowa and Nebraska on Friday every year. So maybe there had been some discussions when Nebraska initially backed out of that, but I do know that seemingly every comment from Iowa's perspective, from their athletic director and Kirk Ferentz, they seem all about it, where they are embracing the Black Friday tradition. And then obviously, it's something Nebraska's been doing for decades now. And so they're going to do all they can to try to preserve that element of their schedule to where every Black Friday they're going to be playing football.
Is there a realization at Nebraska that Scott Frost, who's a fine coach, by the way, he really is, that this is going to take longer than maybe even they thought?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends on who you ask. There are some people that wanted him fired in year one, and then there's people that give him a lifetime contract. So I think this was going to be the year, before COVID, that Nebraska obviously needed to start showing progress on the field when it came to wins and losses. I mean, four wins, you can't do that very long, no matter how many national championships you won as a quarterback here. They needed to start getting tangibly competitive to where, they were winning games and going to bowl games and, not getting blown out in every quote unquote big time matchup that they had. So, that was supposed to happen this year. And, you're going to year three of a head coach. That's pretty standard. And I'm not saying they were going to go, 10 wins or anything like that, but, have a winning record, go to a bowl game. I mean, those types of expectations, I think, were very legitimate. And most people had that in their mind that, that was a very reasonable, standard to set for this year. Well, then all the craziness happened, and it's almost like this year's kind of just a free pass, as it should be, with just the chaos.
Right.
But going into year four, I think that only furthers. I mean, despite as wild as this year has been, you're still in year four as a program, and you still have 4 or 5 years of recruiting classes and a complete roster overhaul that you've managed since day one that you've been here. Right. Now's the time for you to start winning. And so I think that while people are trying to stay patient, if it's not this year, then it better be next year that Nebraska, winning games, going to bowl games, and being competitive in the Big Ten West. I think that's bare minimum of expectations in 2021.
Obviously, in getting ready to broadcast the Penn State-Ohio State game on Saturday night, I watched the Ohio State-Nebraska tape. I thought Adrian Martinez, with his legs, gave a great account of himself, but not as a thrower. Is he still the guy?
For now, they went into camp. Scott Frost said himself they feel like they have two starting quarterbacks. And you get the sense that there is a very short leash on Adrian right now. And, maybe they didn't want to throw Luke McCaffrey out to the Wolves at Ohio State week one in his first ever collegiate start. But, I guess now that they don't have a game this week, if they go out and Adrian struggles at Northwestern, maybe you're looking at a real scenario where they're making a quarterback change, maybe for the Penn State game or shortly after that, because they really like Luke McCaffrey, and Adrian Martinez has had 2 years where, he's shown flashes, but it hasn't been nearly consistent enough. And keep in mind, this is a guy that hasn't finished a full season since he was a junior in high school.
Right.
And so he's got an injury track record. That durability is a real concern. And so right now, he's their starting quarterback. And he showed some good things, I guess, in that Ohio State game.
Yeah.
But it's got to be better because he's got a guy that is literally on his heels right now in Luke McCaffrey, who they are very excited about and already is kind of the fan favorite, as the backup quarterback usually is. But what he showed in that Ohio State game with his versatility and dynamic playmaking, that's something that Adrian hasn't shown in a long time, basically since his freshman year. So Adrian's got to get it going for him to maintain that starting job, because, like I said, I think that leash is awfully short, and the more he struggles, the shorter it's going to get.
Robin, thank you so much for your time today. I know we got you last second. You jumped right in, and we appreciate that very much.
No problem. Always happy to help.